Chapter 6 develops. The commander must assure each of his officers, non-commissioned officers, and soldiers the opportunity to improve military proficiency and to prepare mentally and physically for battle. Every unit commander of the U.S. Army is responsible for the progressive professional development of every soldier in his command. FM 100-5, 1976. Develops leaders. Military leadership is unique because the armed forces develop and select their own leaders. The responsibilities of Army members change as they assume new leadership positions. To ensure the quality of our leaders and future leaders does not diminish, all Army soldiers and DA civilians have a responsibility to develop themselves and their subordinates. In Army leadership, there are four competencies in the category of develops that leaders consider while preparing themselves and their subordinates. A leader prepares self to encourage improvement in leading and other areas of leader responsibility. Creates a positive environment and inspires an organization's climate and culture. Develop others to assume greater responsibility or achieve higher expertise. Stewards the profession to maintain professional standards and effective capabilities for the future. Leaders develop their own leadership proficiency through deliberate study, feedback, and practice. Fundamentally, leadership develops when an individual desires to improve and invests effort. Their superior supports development, and the organizational climate values learning. Learning to be a leader requires knowledge of leadership, experience using this knowledge, and feedback from one's seniors, peers, and subordinates. It also requires opportunities to practice leading others as often as possible. Formal systems such as evaluation reports, academic evaluation reports, and 360 assessments offer learning opportunities, but the individual must embrace the opportunity and internalize the information. The fastest learning occurs when multiple challenging and interesting opportunities to practice leadership with meaningful and honest feedback are present. These elements contribute to self-development, developing others, and setting a climate conducive to learning. Leader development of others involves recruiting, assessing, developing, assigning, promoting, and retaining the leaders with the potential for levels of greater responsibility. Leaders develop subordinates when they prepare and then challenge them with greater responsibility, authority, and accountability. It is the individual professional responsibility of all leaders to develop their subordinates as leaders. Successful leader development is based on five tenets: strong commitment by the Army, superiors, and individuals to leader development; clear purpose for what, when, and how to develop leadership; supportive relationships and culture of learning; 3, mutually supportive domains, institutional, operational, and self-development that enable education, training, and experience; providing, accepting, and acting upon candid assessment and feedback. Committed leaders continuously improve their organization, leaving it better than they found it. They expect other leaders to do the same. Leaders look ahead and prepare subordinates with potential to assume positions with greater leadership responsibility. In turn, subordinates develop themselves to prepare for future leadership assignments. Leaders ensure subordinates know that those who are best prepared for increased responsibility are those they are most likely to select for higher leadership positions. Army leaders set priorities and weigh competing demands to balance individual and unit goals over various timeframes. They carefully steer their organization's efforts to develop toward both short and long-term goals while continuing to meet immediate requirements. Competing demands that vie for an organization's resources complicate a leader's work. Guidance from higher headquarters may help, but leaders have to make tough calls to maintain a healthy balance. Prepare self. Leader preparation begins with self-awareness about one's strengths and limitations, followed by focused self-development. Leaders maintain self-discipline, physical fitness, and mental well-being. They continue to improve their technical, tactical, and leadership expertise. Acquiring the necessary leadership skills to be successful is challenging and critical. In no other profession is the cost of being unprepared to lead so unforgiving in terms of mission failure and loss of life. self-development is continuous and begins with the motivated individual supplemented by a concerted team effort. Part of that team effort is quality feedback from multiple sources, including peers, subordinates, and superiors, to establish self-development goals and self-improvement courses of action. These improve performance by enhancing previously acquired skills, knowledge, behaviors, and experience. Mentorship can focus self-development efforts to achieve professional objectives. Being prepared for expected and unexpected challenges. Successful self-development concentrates on the key attributes of the leader: character, presence, and intellect. While refining abilities to apply and model the Army values, Army leaders maintain high levels of fitness and health, not only to set the example and earn the respect of others, but also to withstand the stresses of leading and maintaining their ability to think clearly. Leaders must exploit every available opportunity to sharpen their intellectual capacity and relevant knowledge. A developed intellect enables the leader to think creatively and reason analytically, critically, ethically, and with cultural sensitivity. When faced with diverse operational settings, leaders draw on their intellectual capacity, critical and creative thinking abilities, and applicable expertise. Leaders create these capabilities by studying doctrine and putting the information into context with personal experiences, military history, and geopolitical awareness. Self-development should include learning languages, the operational environment, military theory, and tactics, techniques, and procedures of potential adversaries. A broad and continuous approach to learning lessens the chances that a leader will face a completely unfamiliar situation, no matter how unexpected. Civilian and military education is an important part of professional development. Leaders should seek out further education and training opportunities beyond what the Army requires. Doing so reflects the intellectual curiosity that the most effective leaders understand being prepared for the unexpected situations they may face. As leaders assume levels of greater responsibility, the problems they face and decisions they make become more complex. This requires that they become lifelong learners and develop a keen sense of self-awareness. Leaders who assume they already know everything they need to know set themselves and their organizations up for failure. Expanding knowledge. Leaders read about, write about, and practice their profession. They prepare themselves for leadership positions through lifelong learning and broadening experience relevant to their career paths. Lifelong learning involves study to acquire new knowledge, reflection, and understanding how to apply it when needed. Broadening consists of those education and training opportunities, assignments, and experiences that provide exposure outside the leader's narrow branch or functional area competencies. Broadening should be complementary to a leader's experience and should provide wider perspectives that prepare the leader for greater levels of responsibility. Some are fast learners. Others must work harder to learn. Becoming a better learner involves having a plan, focusing on achievable goals, making time to study, absorbing new information, applying what one has learned, developing self-awareness. As a critical element of adaptability, self-awareness enables leaders to recognize their strengths and weaknesses across a range of conditions and progressively employ strengths to correct weaknesses. Awareness of weaknesses also helps leaders rely on others who possess strengths the leader may lack. To be self-aware, leaders must be able to formulate accurate self-perceptions, gather feedback from others, and change their self-concept as appropriate. Being self-aware ultimately requires leaders to develop a clear, honest picture of their capabilities and limitations. Leaders develop self-awareness through self-critique and self-regulation. Self-aware leaders are open to feedback from others and actively seek it. They possess the humility to ask themselves hard questions about their performance, decisions, and judgment. They are serious about examining their own behavior to determine how to be a better, more effective leader. Self-aware leaders are reflective, hold themselves to higher standards than their subordinates, and look to themselves first when subordinates are unsuccessful. Self-aware leaders use others' strengths to offset their professional shortcomings, and are willing to learn from others. Being self-aware ultimately requires leaders to develop a clear, honest picture of their own capabilities and limitations. Self-aware leaders understand they are a component of a larger organization that demands both adaptability and humility. They understand the importance of flexibility because conditions continuously change. They also understand that the focus is on the mission, not them. Subordinates see leaders who lack self-awareness as arrogant or disconnected. They may be technically competent, but lack awareness as to how others see them. This may obstruct their readiness to learn and ability to adapt. Lacking awareness can keep them from creating a positive learning work climate. Self-aware leaders sense how others react to their actions, decisions, and example. Competent and confident leaders make sense of their experience and use it to learn more about themselves. Journals and after-action reviews, AARs, are valuable tools in gaining an understanding of one's experiences and reactions to changes in conditions. Self-critique can be as simple as posing questions about one's own behavior, knowledge, or feelings, or as formal as using a structured set of questions about an event. Critical questions include, what happened? How did I react? How did others react, and why? What did I learn about myself based on what I did and how I felt? How will I apply what I learned? In rapidly changing conditions, self-awareness is a critical factor in making accurate assessments of changes and a leader's personal capabilities and limitations to operate in those conditions. Self-awareness allows leaders to translate prior training to new conditions and seek the information they need to adapt. Self-aware leaders are more responsive to situational and interpersonal cues regarding actions to take. They are better informed and able to determine what assistance to seek to handle a given situation. Adjusting one's thoughts, feelings, and actions without prompting from others is self-regulation. Soldiers and DA civilians self-regulate when they realize that their actions fall short of the standards they have for themselves and take the initiative to close the gap. Leaders who self-regulate have an advantage over those who do not. Creates a positive environment, fosters esprit de corps. Army leaders ensure that they create the conditions for a positive environment, build trust and cohesion on their team, encourage initiative, demonstrate care for their people, and enhance esprit de corps by connecting current operations to the unit's traditions and history. Army leaders are approachable when they encourage open, candid communications and observations. Approachable leaders show respect for others' opinions, even if contrary or non-doctrinal. To be approachable, leaders remain objective when receiving bad news and encourage subordinates to be open and candid in their communication. Culture and climate describe the conditions in which a leader leads. Leaders have direct and indirect effects on culture and climate. Culture refers to the environment of the Army as an institution and of major elements or communities within it. All leaders affect the climate at their respective echelon, which may eventually affect the Army's culture. Culture is a longer-lasting and more complex set of shared expectations than climate. Culture consists of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterize the larger institution over time. The Army's culture is deeply rooted in tradition. Leaders refer to Army's culture to impress on Army personnel that they are part of something bigger than themselves. Soldiers and DA civilians uphold the Army's culture to honor those who have gone before and those who will come after. Climate is a shorter-term experience than culture and reflects how people think and feel about their organization. Climate depends upon a network of personalities within a unit that changes as Army personnel come and go. A unit's climate, based on shared perceptions and attitudes, affects mutual trust, cohesion, and commitment to the mission. A positive climate ensures soldiers and DA civilians are engaged and energized by their duties, work together as teams, and show respect for each other. A healthy Army culture and organizational climate will exhibit 6 overarching characteristics. The Army culture and unit climate foster unity, cohesion, and trust. But culture promotes and rewards mental agility, the ability to break from established paradigms, recognize new patterns or circumstances, and adopt new solutions to problems. The Army supports the selection of leaders and rewards members who demonstrate the ability to sense and understand the environment quickly to exploit fleeting opportunities or counter unexpected threats. The Army requires and rewards delegation of authority on the part of leaders and the understanding and prompt through the execution of leaders' intent to levels up by subordinates. The Army selects and rewards leaders who provide clear priorities and focus their unit's time and organizational energy on their mission. The Army culture is one of inclusion that demands diversity of knowledge and perspectives to accomplish missions ethically, effectively, and efficiently. Establishing a positive environment. Leaders make it a point to dialogue with subordinates about the conditions of their lives and the unit to get a sense of the climate. Communicating goals openly provides subordinates a clear vision to achieve. Communication between subordinates and leaders is essential to achieve and maintain a positive climate. Leaders inspire and motivate subordinates to bring creative and innovative ideas forward, and they seek feedback from subordinates about the climate. Openly taking part in unit events and activities increases the likelihood that subordinates perceive leaders are concerned about the group's welfare and has the group's best interests at heart. Leaders are ethical standard bearers for the organization, responsible for establishing and maintaining a professional climate wherein all are expected to live by and uphold the Army values. Other staff specialists, the chaplain, staff judge advocate, inspector general, and equal employment opportunity specialist assist leaders and assess the organization's climate. Regardless of available expert assistance, the ultimate responsibility to create and maintain an ethical climate rests with the leader. Setting the right example does not necessarily mean subordinates will follow it. Some may feel that circumstances justify misconduct. Therefore, leaders must monitor the organization's ethical climate and take prompt action to correct any discrepancies. It is important for subordinates to have confidence in the organization's ethical environment because much of what is necessary in combat conflicts with societal values that individuals bring into the Army. Strong commitment to the Army values, Army ethic, and warrior ethos by the commander fosters a unit's ethical climate. Leaders need to continually assess the organizational climate, realize the importance of development, and work to limit any zero-defect mentality. Recognizing the importance of long-term sustainability and sharing and encouraging feedback, both positive and negative, should be a priority for all team members. Leaders create positive climates by treating all fairly, maintaining open and candid communications between other leaders and subordinates, and creating and supporting learning environments. Assessing environment. Leader behavior signals to every member of the organization what is and is not tolerated. The member's collective sense of the group, its organizational climate, is influenced by the leader's values, skills, and actions. Leaders must continually assess the state of their organizational climates. Feedback from climate assessments assist leaders in this effort. To accurately assess organizational climates, leaders can develop a focused plan of action as follows. Assess the unit. Observe those in the unit. Gather feedback. And conduct focus group sessions of the workplace. Chaplains may assist with ethical climate assessment through informal means or by use of ethical climate assessment surveys. Analyze gathered information to identify what needs improvement. After identifying what needs improvement, begin developing courses of action for improvements. Select a plan of action to correct identified weaknesses. Gather important information. Assess limitations and risks associated with the various courses. Identify available key personnel and resources. And verify facts and assumptions. Attempt to predict outcomes for each possible course of action. Based on predictions, select several leader actions to address target issues. Execute the plan of action by educating, training, or counseling subordinates. instituting new policies or procedures, and revising or enforcing proper systems of rewards and punishment. Periodically reassess the chosen actions. Building trust and cohesion. Trust and cohesion are characteristics of the Army culture that have direct impacts on climate. Leaders encourage subordinates to work together for the greater good while promoting pride in organizational accomplishments. Subordinates trust leaders who underwrite their good faith efforts to act in accordance with their leader's intents. If the outcome is not what the leader expects, the leader and subordinate discuss the problem and develop a strategy to get back on track. Trust also follows when a team appreciates a concerted, honest effort, even when the results are incomplete. Army members gain confidence in leaders who enable them to achieve standards and demand quality performance. Leaders build cohesive teams by setting and maintaining a collective mindset among team members and enabling successful performance. Conflict occurs when people disagree about ideas or feel their interests are threatened. Conflict does not require the involvement of two people, nor is it necessarily based on facts. One person may be in conflict with another without the second person realizing it or being at fault. Leaders should identify and resolve conflict before it affects personal and organizational functioning, good order and discipline, and cohesion. Leaders should be able to resolve two kinds of conflicts, work-related and personal. Any given conflict is likely to contain some level of both elements. Work-related conflict can stem from disagreement over a course of action, workload perceptions, or the best steps for completing a specific task. Personal conflicts generally stem from people who do not like or respect each other, or some perceived grievance based upon individual behavior. Leaders need to develop the skills to address both types of conflicts as rapidly and effectively as possible. Conflicts that simmer lower the morale and duty performance of those involved and can corrode an organizational cohesion when not quickly addressed. Encouraging initiative. Encouraging subordinates to exercise initiative can be a significant challenge. Those who are not in leadership positions are sometimes reluctant to recognize when a situation calls for them to accept responsibility and step forward. Climate largely shapes the degree to which unit members feel comfortable exhibiting initiative and providing input. Leaders create the conditions for initiative by guiding others in thinking through problems for themselves. Demonstrating care for people. The nation entrusts the Army leader with its most precious commodity, its sons and daughters. Army leaders embrace this responsibility and keep the well-being of their subordinates and their families in mind. There are times when leaders place their subordinates in harm's way. This is not because they do not care for them, but because they have a duty to the nation. Leaders also care for subordinates by maintaining their training level, so in the event of combat, they are well prepared. Leaders who respect those with whom they work will likely garner respect in return. Simple actions can demonstrate respect and care, such as listening patiently or addressing family's needs. Detecting change in morale and actively seeking honest feedback about the health of individuals and the organization indicate care. Esprit de corps, tradition, and history. Historians describing great armies often focus on weapons, equipment, and training. They may mention advantages in numbers or other factors easily analyzed, measured, and compared. However, many historians place great emphasis on two factors not easily measured, esprit de corps and morale. Esprit de corps is a traditional military expression that denotes the collective camaraderie and cohesion within a unit. Morale is associated with an individual's sense of well-being, mental, spiritual, and physical. Esprit de corps and individual morale are critical factors affecting mutual trust, cohesive teamwork, and the commitment to persevere through adversity, challenges, and setbacks. Focus on customs, courtesies, traditions, and reflection on the organization's history and accomplishments strengthen esprit de corps. Whether engaging enemy forces, establishing security for a lasting peace, or rebuilding a community devastated by natural disaster, Esprit de Corps helps organizations overcome adversity and challenges. Leaders who demonstrate genuine concern for the welfare of their subordinates strengthen morale. However, leaders breed cynicism, compromise mutual trust, and degrade morale if they allow disconnects between their words and deeds to occur. Leaders who foster tradition and an awareness of history build camaraderie and unit cohesion, becoming esprit de corps. Army members draw strength from knowing they are part of a long-standing tradition. Many of the Army's everyday customs and traditions remind soldiers they are the latest addition to a long line of soldiers. The uniforms, official ceremonies, music, salutes, military titles, organizational history, and the Army values are reminders of tradition. This sense of belonging lives in many veterans long after they have left service. For many, service to the nation remains the single most significant experience of their lives. Unit names, such as Big Red One, All-American, Keystone Division, and Rainbow Division carry extensive histories and traditions. To sustain tradition, leaders pass on the history that surrounds unit crests, awards, decorations, and badges. Upholding traditions ensures the Army's culture becomes integral to every member of the Army team. Develops others. Army leaders, as stewards of the profession, place the needs of the Army as a whole above organizational or personal needs. They have an obligation to be competent in their jobs and train subordinates to be competent in their jobs. Effective leaders balance the long-term needs of the Army, the near-term and career needs of their subordinates, and the immediate needs of their unit's mission. All Army leaders have a duty to prepare subordinates for responsibilities at the next level. The Army develops leaders through three complementary domains. The institutional domain includes Army centers and schools that provide functional and professional military education such as Airborne School and the Army Management Staff College. The basic knowledge gleaned in the institutional Army develops further through the operational domain. The operational domain encompasses all activities that allow leaders to learn through experiences. Optimizing leader development in the operational domain requires a deliberate approach to leader progression in the context of training events and operational deployments, where leaders apply what they learn from schools to a wide variety of situations and environments. The self-development domain encompasses what individuals do to pursue personal and professional development goals. FM6-22 provides techniques about how to create a leader development program and enhance leader development. Effective leader development programs instill in all soldiers and DA civilians the desire and drive to improve their professional knowledge and competencies. This approach prepares current and future Army leaders for the challenges they face ahead. Empowering learning. A leader has the responsibility to foster subordinates' learning. Leaders explain the importance of a particular topic or subject by providing context, how it will improve individual and organizational performance. For instance, leaders discuss the significance of effective counseling with subordinates to help them understand its impact in developing future leaders, achieving goals, managing expectations, and improving organizations. Learning from experience is not always possible. Leaders cannot have every experience in training. Taking advantage of what others have learned provides benefits without having the personal experience. Leaders should share their experiences with subordinates through counseling, coaching, and mentoring sessions. For example, combat veterans can share experiences with soldiers who have not been in combat. Leaders should also take the opportunity to write about their experiences, sharing their insights with others in professional journals or books. Assessing developmental needs. An important step in developing others is to understand which areas are already strong and which should be stronger. Leaders who know their subordinates understand where to encourage development. Leaders observe new subordinates under different task conditions to identify strengths and weaknesses, and to see how quickly they pick up new information and skills. Leaders continuously assess the developmental needs of their subordinates. They evaluate the competence of their subordinates. They assess whether someone can meet the expectations of a new position. They review the organization's policies, status reports, and recent inspection results for indicators of weak areas. They ask outgoing leaders for an assessment and meet with key people outside the organization. Effective leaders periodically update their in-depth assessments, since a thorough assessment enables gradual and systematic changes without causing damaging organizational turmoil. FM6-22 provides indicators of leader performance and information on determining whether each attribute and competency is a strength, meeting standard, or a developmental need. To objectively assess subordinates over time, leaders observe and record subordinates' performance in the core leader competencies. Determine if their performances meet, exceed, or fall below expected standards. Share observations with subordinates and provide an opportunity for them to comment. Leader development doctrine furnishes detailed information on assessing individual capabilities and expanding them through feedback, study, and practice. FM6-22 provides learning activities for all leader attributes and competencies. This information is useful whether a leader is developing self or others. Counseling, coaching, and mentoring. Leaders have three principal roles in developing others. They provide knowledge and feedback through counseling, coaching, and mentoring. Providing feedback is a common element of interacting with others, regardless of developmental role or process. Feedback significantly contributes to development, accelerates learning in day-to-day experiences, and translates into better performance. Providing feedback starts with observation and accurate assessment of performance. Planning to make observations of a subordinate is the first step in feedback. The best observations occur when subordinates engage in critical performance, interact with others, or address a challenging problem. Keeping observation notes is useful when tracking multiple subordinates. Counseling. Counseling is central to leader development. Counseling is the process used by leaders to guide subordinates to improve performance and develop their potential. Subordinates are active participants in the counseling process. During counseling, leaders help subordinates to identify strengths and weaknesses and create plans of action. To make the plans work, leaders actively support their subordinates throughout the implementation and assessment processes. Subordinates invest themselves in the process by being forthright in their willingness to improve and being candid in their assessment and goal setting. Counseling is an integral part of a comprehensive program to develop subordinates. With effective counseling, no evaluation report, positive or negative, should be a surprise. A counseling program includes all subordinates, not just those thought to have the most potential. Coaching. Coaching relies primarily on teaching and guiding to bring out and enhance capabilities already present. Coaching is a development technique used for a skill, task, or specific behaviors. The coach helps them understand their current level of performance and guides them to reach the next level of development. Coaches should possess considerable knowledge in the area in which they coach others. Coaches use all or some of the following approaches depending on the subordinate and situation. Focus goals. This requires the coach to identify the specific purpose of the coaching session. Both the person being coached and the coach need to discuss expectations. The coach communicates to the individual the developmental tasks for the coaching session, which can incorporate results of the individual's 360-degree assessment and feedback report. Clarify the leader's self-awareness. The coach works directly with the individual to define both strengths and developmental needs. During this session, the coach and the individual communicate perceived strengths, developmental needs, and focus areas to improve performance. Both the coach and the individual agree on areas of developmental needs. Uncover potential. The coach facilitates self-awareness of the individual's potential and developmental needs by guiding the discussion with questions. The coach actively listens to how the individual perceives potential. The aim is to encourage the free flow of ideas. The coach also assesses the individual's readiness to change and incorporates this into the session. Eliminate developmental barriers. The coach identifies developmental needs with the individual and areas that may hinder self-development. The coach helps the individual determine how to overcome barriers to development and implement an effective plan to improve performance. The coach helps identify potential sources of support for implementing an action plan. develop action plans. The coach and the individual develop an action plan defining actions that can improve performance within a given period. The coach uses a developmental action guide to communicate those self-directed activities the individual can accomplish to improve performance in a particular competency. Follow-up. After the initial session, the coach should conduct a follow-up as part of a larger transition. Additionally, participants should provide feedback concerning the effectiveness of the assessment, the usefulness of the information received, and progress made. Coaches provide frequent informal feedback and timely, proactive, formal counseling to regularly inspire and improve subordinates. Mentoring. Mentorship is the voluntary developmental relationship that exists between a person of greater experience and a person of lesser experience that is characterized by mutual trust and respect. AR 600-100. The following generally characterize mentorship. Mentoring takes place when the mentor provides a less experienced leader with advice and counsel over time to aid professional and personal growth. The developing leader often initiates the relationship and seeks counsel from the mentor. The mentor takes initiative to check on the well-being and development of the leader. Mentorship affects personal development, maturity, interpersonal and communication skills, as well as professional development, technical, tactical, and career path knowledge. Mentorship empowers the Army to maintain a highly competent set of leaders. The strength of a mentoring relationship relies on mutual trust and respect. Protégés carefully consider assessment, feedback, and guidance. These become valuable for growth to occur. Mentoring relationships exist outside the superior-subordinate relationship. Supportive mentoring occurs when a mentor does not outrank the person mentored, but has extensive knowledge and experience to share. Mentoring relationships may occur between peers and between senior NCOs and junior officers. Thus, mentoring can occur across many levels of rank. Civilian leaders and senior civilian subordinates can provide a substantial mentorship resource for training and integration of military and civilian personnel. Often, this relationship extends past the time where one party has left the other's chain of command. While many associate mentoring with improving duty-related performance and growth, mentoring may include a spiritual dimension. A chaplain or other spiritually trained individual may play a significant role in advising individuals regarding spiritual issues to help clarify and develop personal and professional identity, purpose, motivation, and resiliency in adversity. Operational development. Working in real settings, solving real problems with actual team members provides challenges and conditions where leaders see the significance of leadership and practice their craft. Good leaders encourage subordinates to develop in every aspect of daily activities and should seek to learn every day themselves. The operational domain includes the three factors of leader, led, and situation, and provides real tasks with feedback. This combination provides ideal conditions for development. Planning that includes identification and creation of learning opportunities for leaders promotes development. FM 6-22 provides techniques for how to plan and ensure a mindset to develop leaders. Integrating leader development into the organization creates a positive learning climate, builds an expectation that leader development is a priority, and produces improved individual and unit readiness. Good leaders seek ways to define duties to prepare subordinates for responsibilities in their current position or next assignment. Assigning a leader to set up and control a firing range is an opportunity to coach them on working with sister units and ways to train soldiers. The DA Civilian Intern Program is another example where duty performance is used for development. Leaders can rotate into special duty assignments to give them broad leadership experiences and be given stretch assignments or tasks to accelerate their development. Leaders are responsible for ensuring subordinates receive the appropriate education, training, and experiences at the proper time for promotion, as well as increasing their potential in current and future assignments. Self-development can occur anywhere, so it is also an important aspect of development in organizations. Individuals must be active participants in their developmental process. They must not wait for a leader or mentor to choose them, but have the responsibility to be proactive in their own development. Every Army officer, NCO, soldier, and DA civilian should identify personal strengths and areas for improvement. Each individual should then determine a developmental plan. Some strategies to use in planning development are: ask questions and pay attention to experts. Read and study. Observe those in leadership positions. Find educational opportunities, civilian, military, and correspondence. Seek and engage in new and varied opportunities. Developing teams. A team is any collection of people that functions together to perform a mission or collective task. Teams that work well have an advantage of increasing motivation and accountability among members. Developing close teams takes hard work, patience, and interpersonal skill on the part of the leader. Because high-functioning teams complete missions on time, with given resources and a minimum of wasted effort, they are a worthwhile investment. In war and peace, cohesive teams, operating with mutual trust, accomplish the missions more effectively than those lacking trust and cohesion. Hallmarks of cohesive teams include trusting each other and being able to predict what each will do, working together to accomplish the mission, executing tasks thoroughly and quickly, meeting and exceeding standards, adapting to demanding challenges, learning from their experiences and developing pride in accomplishments. Leaders must guide teams through three developmental stages: formation, enrichment, and sustainment. Leaders remain sensitive to the fact that teams develop differently and the boundaries between stages are not absolute. The results can determine what to expect of the team and what improves its capabilities. Understanding the perspectives of team members is important. Leaders understand that the national cause, mission, purpose, and many other concerns may not be relevant to the soldier's perspective. Regardless of larger issues, soldiers perform for others on the team, for the soldier on their right or left. A fundamental truth is that soldiers accomplish tasks because they do not want to let each other down. Developing close teams takes hard work, patience, and interpersonal skill on the part of the leader. Formation stage. Although Army leaders generally do not select most of their team members, they have the responsibility to ensure their teams are high-performing units. Teams work best when new members quickly feel a part of the team. There are two critical steps of the formation stage: reception and orientation. Reception. Reception is the leader's welcome to new members of the organization. Time permitting, reception should include a personal introduction. Initially, all new team members will be concerned about fitting in and belonging. As teams receive new personnel, they try to diminish the uncertainty for the new team member. This is a team responsibility, not just a leader's responsibility. Orientation. Orientation begins with meeting other team members, learning the layout and schedule of the workplace, and generally understanding conditions. In combat, leaders may not have much time to orient new team members. Leaders pair new arrivals with more experienced soldiers to help orient them. Leaders play a pivotal role in how a team forms and works together. During team formation, leaders assess skills and expertise present on the team and determine how to best apply them. Leaders provide direction and reinforce the norms within the teams and communicate performance standards. Enrichment stage. During the enrichment stage, teams strengthen relationships between members and focus on team objectives. Members become accountable to and for the team. New members gradually move from questioning everything to trusting themselves, their peers, and their leaders. Trusted team members are more willing to resolve differences of opinion and fact, suspend doubt, and concentrate on duties and missions. Leaders learn to trust by listening, establishing clear lines of authority, and enforcing standards. Leaders should understand indicators of distrust, such as persistent defense of personal opinion, conflict avoidance, suspicion about others' motivation, and ignoring the importance of team membership. Leaders improve trust and build morale by getting to know members, communicating truthfully, treating them fairly, and recognizing good work and teamwork. Cohesion is the bond of relationships and motivational factors that help a team stay together. A cohesive team puts aside its differences and chooses to work together. cohesive teams achieve greater success, feeding a sense of greater team competence, commitment, and confidence. These factors increase cohesion and contribute to the willingness to undertake new challenges and overcome hardship. Sustainment stage. During this stage, members identify as a team. They own it, have pride in it, and want team success. There is pride in knowing that individuals are part of a recognized organization, best squad, best tank crew, or best dining facility. Recognition elevates the professional status of the team members. While not all teams can achieve this level of recognition, the team's attitude about its capabilities elevates motivation and the desire to meet new challenges. Teams may encounter difficulties in the sustainment stage. Leaders watch for signs of complacency and intervene by reinforcing good interaction practices and holding the team to standard. Changes for which the team is not prepared can be another challenge for the leader. Shared experiences and regular training allow teams to address unexpected changes in situations. Empowering the team to improve coordination and standing operating procedures can strengthen its ability to handle change. Key responsibilities of the team leader in all stages of team building and teamwork include trust, cooperation, task commitment, accountability, and the work to be completed. When any of these erodes, trust is broken, conflict arises, commitments are disregarded, members are not accountable, or work goes undone, the leader must step in and guide the team back on track. Stewards the profession. Leaders take care of the Army profession by applying a mindset that embodies cooperative planning and management of all resources, but especially providing for a strong Army team, both now and in the future. Leaders actively engage in sustaining full military readiness and preventing the loss of effectiveness as far into the future as possible. Leaders support developmental opportunities for subordinates, such as professional military education attendance, key developmental assignments in other organizations, and attendance at Army schools. Leaders also make decisions and take action to improve the organization beyond their tenure. Supporting professional and personal growth. Developing multi-skilled leaders is the goal of preparing self and subordinates to lead. An adaptable leader will more readily comprehend the challenges of constantly evolving conditions, demanding not only warfighting skills, but also creativity. Army leaders who reflect upon their experiences and learn from them will often find better ways of doing things. Leaders must employ openness and imagination to create effective organizational learning conditions. Effective leaders are not afraid to underwrite mistakes. They allow others to learn from them. This attitude allows growth into new responsibilities and adaptation to inevitable changes, improving the organization for the long term. Leaders demonstrate stewardship when they act to improve the organization beyond their own tenure. Improving the organization for the long term is deciding and taking action to manage people or resources when the benefits may not occur during a leader's tour of duty with an organization.